we hear these words from our Lord, our lives are headed toward this culmination of human history in which we will see Christ face to face and hear his words over our life. Very sobering. Our Lord wants us to feel sobered by it, but not paralyzed with fear, but rather anticipating. He's giving us directions and guidance for really how simple it is that we can be good and faithful servants. In today's gospel, the first thing we can notice is that everything that we have comes from God. Everything is a gift from God. We hear in James, we'll hear it at the end of the service quoted, that every good and every perfect thing comes down from you, the Father of all lights. And so these gifts that God has given us, sometimes they come obviously to us as a gift. This is obviously experienced to us as a good thing. Sometimes they come wrapped in ways that make them seem a little difficult for us. But those trials also become a gift from God, because he knows what's good for us, what's best for us. So everything comes from God. And the other thing that's noticeable about this is that we all don't get the same thing. One gets one talent, one gets two talents, one gets five talents. These are measures of money, but this is a parable for the different gifts that we have in our life. It might mean abilities. This is where our word talent came from. St. John Chrysostom talks about this as a talents being our abilities, our gifts that we able to offer to other people, maybe a good singer, a good reader, somebody who is good at caring for the poor, very compassionate, whatever it might be. So we have a variety of things that God's given us. He's given us time, he's given us breath, he's given us health, he's given us illness, he's given us family members, he's given us job, homes, food. And sometimes we are given a lack of these things. But it all comes from God, and it all comes somehow unique to each and every person. He's the source of everything. Now, if we jump to the third person who had received only one talent, we can learn what not to do, not to bury these gifts that God's given us in the ground. It's very interesting what he says to the master when the master returns. I knew you to be a hard man, you reap where you don't sow, and so, you know, I was afraid and I hit this town on the ground. Jesus calls his bluff. He said, well, if that's true, if you were really knew I was such a hard person, then you would have went out and worked. You would have put this talent to work. And so I would have received the talent plus interest back. So really, he's just saying this guy's making up this story. It's just an excuse. But we can say of ourselves, what are the things which are true to us that aren't blaming God? This person was blaming the master. I didn't do this because you're such a harsh person. As if that made any sense. But there are things that are true of us that move us to burying the gifts which God's given us. One of them is simply fear of failure. Not fear of what the master is going to do to us, but fear of being ashamed or embarrassed that we didn't perform the way we should be able to perform with these gifts that God's given us. We're afraid of not the master's judgment of us, but the world's judgment of us, of friends, relatives, church members. And so instead of taking the risk of failing, we bury our gifts because we're afraid of this kind of criticism or evaluation, of being embarrassed or ashamed. Another reason that we might bury our gifts is because of envy. Precisely because God doesn't give everybody the same thing. We could be the person with the one talent and say, look, what am I not going to put any effort into this? You gave that guy five talents, he's just a bum. He's not any better than I am. You gave this person two talents, he's worse than I am. And we do that sort of thing, like, Lord, why didn't you give me that beautiful voice? Or why didn't you make me clever and wise? Or why didn't you make me a good reader? Or why didn't you make me strong and handsome? Or why didn't you give me a spouse? Or why didn't you give me a good job? Or why didn't, you know, all these other people have all these things. I don't have anything. So when we're focused on what other people have and not on what we've been given, we come to think that we don't have very much. What we have isn't really very useful. So this envy, the Holy Fathers repeatedly say, just really eats away at our soul. It's like an inner parasite in our soul. It's just destroying us, blinding us to the very things that God has given us. So another reason we might bury our gifts is because we are focused on what other people have been given instead of what we've been given. And the other thing, maybe we've just cultivated the habit of grumbling and complaining. St. Paul says, do all things without grumbling and complaining. But that's the opposite of thankfulness. And thankfulness is what opens our eyes to see what God has given us. We don't see what God's given us and then give him thanks. We give thanks, and that opens our eyes so that we can then see. But if we choose instead to grumble and complain, then our eyes remain closed. This is just another way of burying our gifts, because we don't even see the things that God has given us. So maybe there's many other different examples, many other of the things that are really about us, not about the master who gave us the gifts, but about us, for the reasons we bury our gifts. So the first thing we can learn from this story is that God gives us everything. Everything that we have comes from him. The second thing we can learn is that we have this tendency to blame God or to blame others for why we're not using those gifts. But we need to look to ourselves. We need to be honest as we're looking in the mirror. Go to confession. Ask God to show us why it is that we're burying our gifts. Now, the third thing is to think about how it is that we invest this. Let me say first, just in passing, that, you know, that Jesus says, the Master says, that you've been faithful over a little. But a talent, there's different ways to calculate these things, but on one calculation, a talent is a measure of weight. But in this context, a measure of weight of gold or silver. There's a wage measure of gold that would be about $1.4 million. So, you know, in the eyes of the world, that's a lot. And if you had five talents, it would be whatever that is. 8 or 9 million, something like that. 7 million. So these people were given a lot. But Jesus calls it a little. And of course, the point of that is that this is a little relative to the spiritual realm. And that opens the door to our thinking about how it is that we're supposed to invest this. These things that God has given us. Oh, I'm a very talented person. I'm a wonderful singer, so I'm going to go sing. I have a compassionate heart, so I'm going to go care for the poor. God's given me lots of money, so I'm going to be philanthropic and support different. These are good things to do, of course. But the critical thing is that we do them with Christ. You might have a beautiful voice. One person might have a beautiful voice and sing at the Lincoln Center. Another might have a beautiful voice and sing in the church. You think, oh, well, that's good. You should sing in the church. But what if you sang in the church for your own glory? And you just wanted people to hear you and think you were pious and holy. And if you got... it would be revealed when you got criticized, and then you became a monster, because that's not what you're singing to be praised and honored, and so you reacted. And if you sang in the Lincoln Center for the glory of God, it would be a marvelous thing. And so the challenge for us is to take all of the different things in our life and invite God into them so that he's the one who produces, enlivens us in these activities, in the simplest and littlest activities, in washing the dishes and driving to work and cleaning the house and whatever our labor or work effort is called for, even in going to sleep. Sometimes we can just make the sign of the cross, then go about our efforts. Maybe we're a teacher or a nurse or an auto mechanic, and we are simply involved in day-to-day care of people, of people's, other people's possessions. We can say, Lord, be with this person, help them, they're suffering. Lord, help them learn this material. I don't know how to teach them very well, but you can teach them. Oh, Lord, this person's car broke down. They don't have very much. Just help me to do a good job. Help me to fix it right. In these simplest ways, we don't have to make it complicated. In the simplest ways, we can invite God into the activity that He's given us to do. This is how we invest the things that He's given us. If we keep them for ourselves, if we do them by our own effort, that's just another form of burying them. We're burying them because we're not revealing who it is that they come from. Remember the beautiful text in the end of John chapter 3 when Jesus says that He's the light has come into the world. He didn't come to judge the world, but He came as light into the world. And He says that for those who are His followers, those who love Him, He said that they come to the light so that it can be revealed that their deeds are produced by God. The things that they do in their life are produced by God, not by themselves. And really, it's a synergy. It's a working together. And so our faithfulness over a little, the things that God has given us, is a faithfulness of doing things with Christ. We had at the beginning of today's epistle to St. Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 6, don't receive the grace of God in vain. All of these gifts are just instances of the grace of God. Don't receive it in vain. Somehow we need to unite ourselves to that grace, to that gift that God has given us. So for us to hear the words of our Master, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Master, we need to receive these things as gifts that come from God and not find ways in which we bury them or engage in them for our own glory, for our own purpose, but simply unite our efforts to the gifts that God has given us in thankfulness and appreciation and inviting Him to work with us so that others can look at us and see the Creator who created us, the Savior who's saving us, not to glorify us, but to glorify Him. Then we'll experience that joy, a foretaste of the joy anyways, and we'll experience what the Nehemiah, but as we said, I think in the book of Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The strength to carry on and endure in this world that has fallen and many times harsh and filled with suffering, but also filled with this mystical joy that God wants to bestow on us even now as a foretaste of the things to come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.